Thank you for listening to the Hub Show podcast. Brought to you by Venue Media.
Trade show displays, step and repeat backdrops, pull up banner stands, table throws, all your large printing needs. ExpoNetUSA.com, 301-378-9363. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The People's Podcast.
The Hub Show.
You can beatbox?
That's awesome, dude.
Let's hear it. Busy Fresh. Hub Show. I'm back. Jay Heisch. I got him back in the studio here. Mark Smith, a.k.a. DJ Busy.
Hey.
From Chambersburg, PA, Pennsylvania. And this is part two. Hopefully there'll be a part three and a part 13 somewhere down the road.
Chambersburg is the residency right now.
Yes.
But
where are you from, dude?
Greencastle, PA is really the... is really what I those claim to fame. That's where I went to high school and played high school ball.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's cool, man.
I don't want to offend anybody in Greencastle or Chambersburg.
And, of course, I still, you know, I still claim Hollywood. That was my home for 15
LA.
Years. So.
You're wearing the Amoeba music. Amoeba Records, Hollywood. Been there, done it. That place is huge.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite stores on the planet.
Shout out. No kidding, man. Yeah,
could be from the vinyl to the DVDs upstairs.
Place, like I said, I was telling you, that place gives me a headache. Used to give me a headache when I went in there because I didn't know where to start.
It's sensory overload.
That's what it is, right? Yeah. You park in the underground parking, and the walls are covered with album covers. I mean, I'm a vinyl junkie. And you get in there, and like, oh, my God. Just the hip-hop section alone, you could spend an entire afternoon in there. Yep. You're not even done with a quarter of the store yet.
Right. Seriously, you're just stacking that one
track tapes,
that one section, that one corner.
Seriously,
yeah, you get lost in there for a long time.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, man. Well, so we spent part one talking about your music and your history and your roots with everything. I love it, love it, love it. And you and I both have some LA roots. You're from you just came back from LA, but you're claiming some residency out there. I don't blame you.
Yeah, well, you know, when I put in the time.
When the opportunity calls, I know you're
going to
go.
I put blood, sweat, and tears out there, so I can claim what I want.
And I know what you mean. We talked a bit. I got to be honest, folks. There was a part two recorded with my co-host Chris and Charmin, but we lost the audio, so it wouldn't be right of me to not put a little disclaimer out there why I've been doing this by myself with Mark, because it is what it is. It's timing. But anyway, I didn't want to lose the... lose the vibe we had. This is great stuff. But you were in LA and now you're back in PA, and I did the same thing. Went from LA to back to the East Coast, or back east, that place that everyone calls it. It is different. The politics are different. I know you come back here, and we talked about it. It's a little more. You like to use the C word, conservative here.
So it's a little more conservative.
A little more tight.
A little bit more controlled. I call it a police state.
Is it?
I feel like it is.
Do you?
All right. You know, I just think, I'm not trying to point fingers at just the police, when I say police state. But it has a lot to do with the police and just the mentality and the way people act. And, you have one bad bird and a flock, and then it's like they want to come down on the flock.
Yeah.
It's like, man, come on, that's not community.
Well, we're sitting here in Hagerstown, Maryland, and we were talking about how around here there's some what are the laws or what? You can't have a DJ. But there's no place with a DJ right now.
You
have to have a certain liquor.
We live in a city. Hagerstown's a city, from what I understand.
Even though
there's enough people here to populate it as a city.
There's a couple of five-story buildings, sure.
Right. So, and there's nowhere to go on the weekends to hear a DJ right now. I mean, there's a couple spots, but they're like eclectic, and I don't know. It's just there's this law that was brought to my attention. That is, you can't have a DJ you have to have a certain liquor license to have entertainment or to have a DJ.
Right.
And then it's like, even if you have that liquor license, then you have the fire marshal or whoever else from, I don't know, whatever the committee is. The local government of Hagerstown on your ass about, playing certain types of music because it roars the crowd up or it brings out the quote-unquote wrong crowd.
The bad elements.
You can't, that, what year is this? 2019.
And right. I know, you think it was 1979 or 89, the way right. they operate.
Or even further back.
I've said like, that. I've said that, you know, being here, I'm looking at, we're in Hagerstown, Maryland. It's an hour northeast or whatever of Baltimore, D.C. Not that far.
Right.
But, you know, those vibes end right outside those areas, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It gets very tight. And yeah, I've said that to some friends of the Hub Show, DJ Shmoo, even Big Chuck, who told me the same thing. He said, "Yeah, that's the way it is around here. You gotta have a, you gotta have a certain liquor license to serve food, to have a DJ, and this and that." And I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, I've said that this place is not.
I mean, I just
the screws are too tight around here, man.
We said it on the original recording.
Yes, we did.
But it's a lot like Footloose.
That's it.
You know, where you're
not telling you can't dance, but there's no place to dance.
I mean, they kind of, they're kind of telling you you can't dance.
Yeah, they don't want
to. Yeah. I mean,
we should try it. I think, you know, I was DJing for the rappelling event in April, right out there in the middle of downtown. I was playing everything in the book. People were having a good time. And the guy that ran it, EJ Fuller, shout out to you, he was up top the building looking down. I said, "Damn, dude, you had a party going on down there." I said, that's what you brought me in to do.
Right.
But
people are supposed to have a good time.
I even had some of the cops give me a thumbs up on some of the stuff I was playing. That's cool. Man. It was pretty wild. So yeah. I don't know. You know,
hey, it's usually, and I'm not going to say like, you know, I get along with all city cops, but most of the time, city cops aren't really that bad of guys. It's usually the state guys that you got a problem
That's
with.
True.
I mean, that are really throwing around their weight and you know, doing what they do. But that's just my point of view.
But hey, Hagerstown, people out there who might want to join in, maybe we need to try a flash mob thing. I think that's been done here in Hagerstown. But you live in Chambersburg right now.
I do, yeah.
Which is up above the border here, the Mason-Dixon line into Pennsylvania. What's the vibe in Chambersburg? There's a bit of a downtown there.
Yeah, there's a bit of a downtown. It's more open to that kind of stuff than it is here, which doesn't make much sense to me.
Right.
You think it would be an opposite because you're going into a smaller populated area.
Yeah.
But it seems more open and like they have a little bit more freedom and like the fire marshals or the local government are more willing to work with the business owners.
True.
To allow them to do this sort of thing. Like when you're walking down the streets of Hagerstown, you should be walking past a lounge and hear music coming out.
Yeah.
Right. And you should go half a block down and hear another lounge with different music coming out.
Not happening.
That doesn't happen.
No.
You know?
On any given Friday or Saturday night in this town, is you can just, like I said, roll some tumbleweed down the street because that's what it's like around
that
here.
Doesn't
small town USA, but come on, people.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't care if you're in a country. Okay. I don't care if you're a country music bar. That vibe's not there either.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it has to be hip-hop, you know what I mean? But it should be hip-hop. Because, you know, let's look at the population and look who's here and look what people listen to.
A dope-ass jazz lounge would be
right.
Even once in a while.
Let's have a jazz lounge. Let's have a country lounge.
Sure.
Let's have a rock place, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
And, I mean, I guess, you know, you got
Broad Axe.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's so cool. They have karaoke night there and everything else. Yeah.
Edit. Go. So, yeah, that place downtown, the Broad Axe.
I like this guy.
The Broad Axe, they have some rock stuff going on in there sometimes and some jam bands. But outside of that, I couldn't tell you anything that's happening. And, you know, with hip-hop being a huge part of this community, you would think we'd have a hip-hop club here. Why is there no hip-hop club? Where is the hip-hop club? Some black business owner, please come out of the woodwork, contact me, let's start something up.
I'll say it about Hagerstown. I got one black business owner who's down with the Hub Show from day one, a good friend, Big Chuck. He runs all his comedy shows out of different places here. And he's talked to us on the show. You guys can go back in the archives and listen to it. He's talked to us about what he runs into around here, trying to get his events into other bigger venues around here because, obviously, the pushback. They feel like if you start bringing in the black crowd, you're going to get the thug crowd and they get those elements. But I don't know, man. It hasn't been tried yet. And Big Chuck has security at his events, and nothing's ever happened to his events for anyone to say that. And the thing is, his crowd isn't just black. There are a lot of white people hanging out watching his comedy shows.
It's too. Racist. Though.
It is racist.
You know, you can't even say that to somebody.
No, but it's 1959 around here. I'll tell you what, I'll say it right now. Herald Mail Media, which is a local newspaper, has a section in the newspaper called What's Happening on Jonathan Street.
No
Jonathan
way.
Street is the
is
historic.
This is true.
This
is real?
Hear me out. Yeah. I laughed about it, but it's funny, but not funny. Jonathan Street in Hagerstown, Maryland. Edit again. Hagerstown, Maryland is historically the black neighborhood. That's where black people were put to live up in, you know, through the Jim Crow era and this and that. Obviously, it's changed. But I mean, I live in a Leave it to Beaver suburban neighborhood way down off Sharpsburg Pike, and there's black, white, it's a crayon box. But historically, downtown Hagerstown, Jonathan Street meant black street. Big Chuck, he puts his shows on Washington Boulevard, whatever it's called, Washington Street, at Pretzel Pizza Creations in downtown Hagerstown. Nowhere, well, it's two blocks away from what would be Jonathan Street. Because he's black, he gets a write-up in the Herald Mail, not front page, not second page, but it's in the what's happening on Jonathan Street section. Man. And it's like, this is like 1959. Just because he's black, running an event doesn't mean he gets put, you're pigeonholing people into a section of your newspaper that's supposedly catering to black. And then what, again, 2019, my ass, you know what I mean?
A little side note.
Yeah.
My first DJ gig was with DJ Milk on Jonathan Street.
Well, there you go.
At the J Street Lounge.
And what year was that?
1997.
Yeah, you were breaking ground, dude.
I was breaking ground.
But the ground hasn't been broken since or something.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I left.
I mean, it's just funny, man. This is the same newspaper that when they did a big write-up on the Mason-Dixon Roller Vixen Roller Derby team,
yeah,
to their chagrin, they put that in the lifestyle section, not even the sports section. And they're like, what? You know? So... phone's going off and everything, man.
You're an important guy.
I am, man. I try. It's probably just some telemarketer, though. Getting lots of those. Yeah, that's my bitch and moan. I mean, I want to make some changes like that, too. I mean, I come here from all over the place. I lived in L.A. I lived in lots of different places. And I see some of this attitude in other places, too. It's not just Hagerstown.
You know? Oh, sure.
But
yeah,
it's like, come on.
It exists other places.
Well, you know what? We ain't going to get over this hump, this thing, this cancer that's in this country without... you know, taking some steps, man.
Acceptance.
Big Chuck is offering you a secure event.
Right.
He's actually made some progress, though. He is moving into the Baymont Hotel. November 30th, Big Chuck is bringing his Love and Laugh comedy show. And our boy, Chris Abels, from way over in the other side of West Virginia, facing Ohio there, a white comedian, will be on the bill. So bring it. Bring it, Chuck, and the Hub Show's got you back. And we're looking to do a lot more stuff with Big Chuck to try to... we need to keep saying break barriers in 2019. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm tired of this conversation, man.
I know. It's
lots
crazy.
Of the guests that come on the Hub Show, black. Lots of the guests that come on the Hub Show are white. I don't care who you are, man. If you got a good story to tell, a business to talk about, something you're doing, a cause, come on and talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to call it the Jonathan Street segment of the show or nothing stupid like that. That's retarded. I mean, this is, yeah, chaps my heart. Anyway, so that's what we're doing. That's what we're up against. Hey, we're saying... myself, DJ Busy, are telling anybody out there, you want to try it? You want to stick your toe in the water? Let's try to run an event. I guarantee myself and Busy could make it work. We know what we're doing. You want to try it? Want to play some hip hop? Want to play an eclectic bunch of music? We can do it if you're open to it.
Yeah,
I know there's some places around here that do allow a DJ in there because they're serving alcohol, and that's great, and we can do certain nights there and this and that, you know, but I know you want a facility, don't you? You want a residence.
I would like to start something that's, it's consistent kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So people know.
Not just a one-off every 2 months or something, right?
Every Saturday.
You know what you're getting.
We're going to go do this, and this is the jump off.
There you go. Small town politics, folks. For all those listening over there in England, in Iceland, all our fans out there in Romania, that's what's happening here, folks. We're trying. We're doing our best here. Well, I don't think you started yet, Mark. You just came home, man. You ready to?
Oh yeah. It's just beginning, man. I'm just pouring out the gasoline
awesome.
Right now.
Yeah.
I'm about to light this. This on fire,
yeah.
Man.
All right. But Mark, hey, again, we talked in the first half about you dropped some celebrity names. Big one we talked about a lot was Quentin Tarantino. That's awesome. You spun for his, a couple of his events, his movie,
Inglourious Bastards, Django. I did some
Who's not jealous of Mark right now? That's awesome, man.
Did some private stuff for him.
That's awesome, dude. Like, he came back. His people reached out to you each time and said, hey.
Yeah, well.
That's awesome.
I had my girlfriend at the time mm-hmm. was a publicist in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And she was friends with his assistant. Yeah, so it was just that connection. And then, you know, when you get in and you do a good job and you're mm-hmm. cool and you're not an asshole, right. you get called back.
Yeah.
And I'm dope at what I do. You know, I'm not trying to,
like...
You
don't seem like an asshole yet, man.
Yeah, you know.
I'll let you know when you do.
I try not to be an asshole, man.
Okay.
Except maybe on the basketball court, you catch me on the wrong day.
Really?
Oh, man, I've been known to talk shit and people...
We're talking while you're coaching or while you're playing?
Both.
I
mean, look, if you do something wrong on the court while I'm coaching, I'm going to let you know. So if you don't like criticism, you might not like that.
Yeah, just...
But if you want to get better, then you're going to love that.
There you go.
But playing, oh, I'm the biggest shit talker.
You're a beast, yeah.
I learned from Billy Hoyle, man. White man can't jump all day.
Because they can, damn it. Anyway. Anywho. So let's do some more name dropping. You're out in L.A. Who else have you DJed for? That's cool, dude.
Well, I'm pretty good friends with David Arquette.
Yeah.
So I've been around his whole entourage of people. Nice. I did, you know, his ex-wife Courtney Cox's mm-hmm. One of her birthday parties.
Yeah.
And
you have a special story. You have to repeat it. This is funny, dude.
So Dave,
called the Wiener
house,
story.
Yeah, he had this house in Malibu.
Yeah.
And it had this this dope basketball court, like right on the edge of the water and everything. You know,
right.
Really dope place to go hang out and. He would be like, you know, you grab some guys, let's have a Saturday barbecue and play some basketball. Sounds good, you know. I'll be there and I'll bring the crew. So we go, we're playing basketball, and afterwards he's like, all right, let's go in the backyard, you know, we're gonna have this barbecue.
Right.
So he doesn't mention anything, you know, he just like, you know, it's a normal day for Dave. So we're like walking into the backyard and, you know, I get my hot dog and I'm like walking over by the pool. And then, I'm eating, and I'm talking to my friend bullshitting about the games we just played. And I look up, and here comes this beautiful woman. And, like, you know, I'm starting at the toes and, like, comes up to, like, her face. And
past your hot dog.
Yeah, past the hot dog. And there I'm like, wow, that's Jennifer Aniston, like, right in front of me. Wow. Like, in a bikini, like, hanging out at the pool. And she's like, hey, how you doing?
Not that it matters, but what year was this?
This is 2000, probably 11 or 12. Mm. I would say.
Oh, Horrible Bosses time. She's hot in that movie.
Yeah. Horrible Bosses.
I mean, she's never not good looking, but I'm trying to think of phase of her career where she was at.
What time
you know?
Frame she was in.
Yeah. She's, you know, she's a good looking girl, man.
Yeah. And woman. I was just kind of like woman. Stuttering around like, hi.
Hot dog fell out the bun.
High's the word. Hi.
Yeah. I'm feeling high.
And I'm like standing there holding my hot dog. It's like, you know, looking like an asshole, I'm sure.
And you just walked away?
No, I mean, I was just hanging out, you know, I finished eating and talking with my friends and just, you know, trying to play it cool, like, oh, yeah.
Sitting
there
chewing with his mouth open right in front of
him. Just Jennifer Aniston.
Talking to a hot dog flying out of his mouth.
No big deal, Dave. Thanks for the warning.
Yeah, I saw office space. She's like, what the fuck? Should have pushed her in the pool, dude.
I know, that's what I should have done, because then she would have remembered me, man. I should have just shoved her into the pool.
Or if the hot dog fell out the bun, that would have been the funniest thing, dude. She would have remembered that. Right. Yeah. Jennifer Aniston. There you go.
Yeah. So that's
what color was the bikini? Do you remember?
It was red.
Oh, you know what? That's what I was thinking in my head. It must have been. I don't know why.
Red bikini.
Seen her in a red bikini.
She had like a white, draped, silky thing on. Yeah, over top.
Wow.
Yeah.
She holding the drink. I'm trying to put the whole picture together.
Yeah,
was her hair down or up?
It was like a pineapple something. She was drinking. I can remember.
Was the hair up or down?
She had like one of those like round sun hats on.
Oh,
you know,
like you see her with
and
in
like
the movies.
Had like a piece of hair hanging down over through her face.
A little Michael Jackson action going on. Right?
I don't know.
She had the sunglasses on too.
I don't want to put Michael Jackson and Jennifer Aniston.
I don't either. But you know the hair bit. You know what I'm talking
about.
I'm
just teasing.
Jeez, man. Rest in peace, Mike. Hey. It's Jennifer Aniston we're talking about. Anyway, that's awesome, dude. Yeah, I'll let the fellows marinate with that one. Well, whoever else is interested in Jennifer Aniston, that's all good.
Yeah, right.
I don't judge. Anyway.
Yeah, so I've done like private events for J.J. Abrams. And,
you mentioned that. That's
Chris
cool,
Pine,
man.
Steven Spielberg, Emma Roberts.
Now, when you're at a Steven Spielberg event, I can only imagine who else is there.
Yeah, it's
that's
just
nuts.
It's
passing in front of you.
Star-studded, man.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
Do
you find yourself having to contain yourself sometimes?
No, because I'm always
kind of laid back.
Well, that, but I'm contained.
Plus, you're working
to what I'm doing.
Yeah, I get
you. So I'm focused on my craft because I'm like,
yeah.
My dad told me this thing one time, right? Because he was a drummer.
Yeah.
and performed through the 60s, 70s, and had a band in the 80s, actually.
Nice.
Also, and he told me this thing one time. He was like, listen, it doesn't matter if you're performing for 5 people or 500,000 people. It might be one of those people's only chance to hear you in their entire lifetime.
So don't ruin it.
So yeah. Every first time you step up, you got to give them 100%, yeah, yeah. Whether it's 5 people or 500,000.
I got you.
And I've always lived by that and stuck to that. So, you know, when I go DJ a lounge or a local bar or something, and people are like, oh, you're so into it, you know. And it's,
well, yeah.
They're like, look, if I am in front of 500,000 people, you are going to get a different me because I'm reciprocating the energy and the vibe that I'm getting from that
crowd.
Huge crowd.
Yeah.
But I try my best to give you my best effort if there's only 5 of
it's
you.
It's like
in the
this
crowd.
People, the DJing business, when it comes to mixing the music and all that stuff, some are great, some are good, some aren't so good. DJ Busy here is great. That's why he gets the gigs he
Thank
gets.
You, sir.
And DJing and mixing on the turntables or whatever you're doing, when you're doing it right and doing it good, you're like being a chef.
Sure.
And you're in the zone. You're yeah. making, and you want to make this thing, the souffle needs to come out just fucking right. And if it doesn't, you know, we all know what a train wreck is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a DJ, you're a DJ, you know, way better DJ than I am, but I'm just saying.
Well, if you've listened to any local DJs here, you've yeah. heard a train wreck. I'm yeah. not trying to be.
I know what you're saying, dude.
I'm not trying to be
I know
an
what you're
asshole,
saying, man. Yeah, yeah.
But I'll be a little bit of an asshole.
But folks, it's a craft. It's a craft like playing drums. You can either do it or you can't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
it's very true.
It's, you know, and I love people who dog on the DJs for, you know, versus musicians and this and that. Listen, man, you can either keep time or you can't.
Right.
And it's counting just right. like music is. And the art of the DJ, which a lot of it's been lost, but to me personally, you know. But the art of the DJ is just that. You know a good DJ when you hear him. So, and, you know, Busy here isn't being hired by Quentin Tarantino over and over again because he sucks. So,
well, thank you, sir.
Stick that in your pipe, motherfuckers. No, man, this is cool. This is an honor to be sitting here with you, man, because you've done your 20 years in this business, man, 22 years. You did your, paid your dues, man.
Thank you, brother. yeah, man. I feel like I paid my dues.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like
I didn't do what
I didn't,
you did.
I didn't walk the
I didn't
line.
Get to go and do all with you, but I also, you know, there's all my own life decisions to go the route I went. You know, personal things came up in my life, but I never really, I know other DJs who are on the circuit. I'm acquaintances with them. I'm not mm-hmm. deep friends with them, but do you know a guy named Rooney G? You ever heard of him?
No, I don't know Rooney.
All right, we'll talk about it afterwards. He's all over the country. He's a little older than me, still the same guy. Do you know the Wicked Mix and the Ultimix remix
sure.
things?
Yeah, yeah.
He was one of the guys that did the Ultimix.
Oh, cool,
he did
man.
The Ultimix. He did the Ultimix for the Shake Your Rump, Hey Ladies,
oh, yeah.
way back in the day. And I sat with him at his house and back in the mid-90s. He was mid-90s, like 1995, so Windows 95.
Yeah.
He had this thing in his house set up with a keyboard and the turntables and this. I didn't have a computer in my house yet, so this is all new to me. He had Windows 95, and I don't know if Pro Tools was out yet, but he was already tinkering with some software. This is the mid-90s now.
Yeah.
So no one, a lot of people don't even have the internet yet. I don't think he even did. It was weird, but I said, well, how did you cut stuff up like in 1989 versus now we have the software? He was telling me he literally had to take the reels and
oh,
cut.
Crazy.
Yeah. So I'll send you a copy. I'm sure you have it somewhere in your pile of music, but I'll send you the MP3 of his Hey Ladies Shake Your Rump from back in 89.
I have all the Wicked Mix
yeah,
and
the
Ultimix collection.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, and this,
yeah.
And
somebody gave them to me.
Oh,
he's
MP3, also, he had the Platinum Records on his wall. He also did the Ultimix remixes for OPP and all that.
Oh,
the one
sick.
With the ABC, Jackson 5 Mixin.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all him, dude. He had the Platinum Records up on his wall
nice.
From Naughty by Nature and shit.
Very
yeah.
cool.
So I was about as giddy as with him as I am with you right now. So yeah, it's all good. But
that's
see, when
cool.
I worked the trade show business, the magic show for 20 years, like I've said to people know, I was a streetwear account manager, so I handled accounts like Rockaware and FUBU and all these big, when all the rappers started launching clothing lines
sure.
and whatnot. So I got to meet a lot of people, you know, there's just one-off handshakes and all that. I had my picture taken with a couple people, but they were on film, so they've been lost, you know.
Right.
But I had my, yeah. I hung out with Russell Simmons for like, when I say hung out, I'm talking about like maybe a 20-minute conversation, but I got to do that.
Hey, that's cool.
I got to meet Left Eye like a month before she passed away. Rest in peace. You know, that was awesome. Good time. Made her laugh. Hey, I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I hung out. I got to meet Run. I got to meet DMC. You said you did too. Did you meet them? Or?
Well, DMC I got to work with.
That's awesome.
In a studio session with Jared Goslin.
Nice.
And Jared had me lay down some scratches on a record for DMC, which was a huge deal for me, man.
Hell
I was
yeah.
Just, I was telling you, I've Run DMC tattooed on my arm right here.
Dude, I was on YouTube.
The turntables might wobble, but they don't fall down.
Peter Piper, y'all.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I go to YouTube. YouTube is my new crate digging place. It's digital crate digging because people put all the remixes up and whatnot.
Right.
I go and I try not to do it, but when I come across like a Run DMC video from back in the day, there's some live stuff from them from way back in the 80s. It's so awesome to watch.
Yeah.
And you go look through the comments and these younger cats today. These young cats called it corny and this and that.
Yeah, like, they don't get it.
You don't get it. You guys couldn't pass the mic like that.
Yeah.
The way Run DMC, they were the, they don't that was understand. An art form, people don't man. Understand. Yeah.
You
don't,
first of all, there wasn't,
you don't shit
there
on wasn't the legends.
20 years of you to being able to watch of. That to work right. off of. It was, that is what they created and it was brand new. Dude, and it was from nothing.
It was from nothing. That's what, look, that's what I love about hip hop. And I'll say to anyone that sits with me, what's so fascinating about it to me is where it comes from. That's why I'm always talking about crate digging and the records, because that's where it came from. Yeah. People making something new out of something old with the turntables and all that stuff, the way they were doing it in the South Bronx and wherever else back in the 70s and 80s, that shit is genius to me.
Yeah.
And then the whole story of rock and roll, which to me has kind of come to an end. I think it's an era that's coming to an end because we seem to be putting out crap. Nothing new is what I mean. I mean, if there's somebody out there who's making mind-blowing stuff like Pink Floyd did back in the day, I'm waiting to hear it because I just feel like when in the 12 notes they're out to play in the beats, we've kind of hit a wall with combining all of it. DJing will never go away because you can keep creating off of stuff that's already been made.
Right.
But, I mean, as far as, like, the rock and roll, everything's in the era, right? Like, Baroque music, this and that, the, you know, the Renaissance era. It's an era. It started in, like, the 50s. And I don't know. We hit a wall, like, around 2010 or something, man, because,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, you still obviously subscribe and getting all the new stuff. I get it, too. I can't even figure out to play in half that shit.
There's good stuff still coming
out. There's some diamonds in the rough.
It's, you know, I mean, when you look at, you know, the 80s and the 90s.
Oh, beautiful times.
Then you look at what came out.
Out of
just
nothing.
A mass library of creativity and just good music, man.
Like, I talked to, like, we have a good friend of the show, Santino Mancibo. He's like a 31-year-old guy. He respects what I'm talking about, but I also try to listen to hear him out about what they consider hip-hop today is all this beat-making stuff. And like, okay, beat-making, but you guys aren't digging in the crates for samples and nothing like that. That's, like, off the table now. It's weird. And a lot, right. of, a lot of what they're playing to me is, well, like, the same BPM. It's the same thing.
To,
you know, it's weird.
To kind of give some justification to these newer producers.
Educate
me. I think a lot of people stepped away from the sampling thing because people were getting sued.
That's true. I understand that.
And, you know, it's like you had, like Lord Tariq and Peter Guns.
Okay.
Right? So they had that song, Deja Vu, mm-hmm. Uptown, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they got sued for that. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy. It's like,
it is crazy.
They came out, had a hit, and like somebody from 20 years ago, the song hadn't been on popular for 20 years, is going to come sue them and take all their hard work. And it was hard work, you know, and it's just because they didn't create the sound. I mean, they still took the bass line, had to loop it, had to put the drum, and
there's
had to
come work, up with people. The lyrics.
There's work put into that.
There's lots of work.
And, you know, another scenario I can think of is the Pharaoh Monch, Simon mm-hmm. Says. They got sued by Godzilla for that.
Unreal.
For that sample.
Unreal.
And it's like, Godzilla, the film. Like,
come
no,
on.
You know, from,
you should be honored. Right. That's how I feel about it.
So it's like you have this indie small company, Raucous, that put out that record who was, you know, I mean, they didn't make billions of dollars or even tens of millions of dollars off that record. It's like, I mean, I doubt they even made $500,000 or
you're
something.
You're like me.
You know?
You've been on
what they cleared it.
You've been on YouTube. You've seen, like, there's a documentary about sampling and whatnot. Have you seen some of that stuff? I'll send you some links. But it's really crazy what they're up against. They have to talk to someone who there's shits all over the whole notion of sampling and calling it lazy and whatnot. You ever seen the documentary Scratch? Came out in the early 2000s?
Big fan of that.
I'm a huge fan. I had that on DVD, man. That's the essence of it.
I used to watch that because that came out when I was in college, and I would literally put it on and just keep it on repeat while I would, like, sleep, and I'd wake up and it'd be on, and I'd let it play, keep repeating, and like I would go to, like, class and come back, it'd still be on, and I'd just watch it. It was just constantly.
It starts out with DJ Premier
constantly playing.
In deep concentration. That is so badass, but that's the essence of this. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole with this. I'm a huge fan. We talked about it. Everyone knows who's seen me. Paul's Boutique, the Beastie Boys' second album. I mean, it's a sample fest, and they knew it going in. There's been two books written about it. It's a mystery album because they didn't do a lot of interviews around that time, and the album actually flopped when it first came out. But like 20 years later, 25 years later, there's artists out there just now finding out that they got sampled on that album, and nothing they can really do about it.
Yeah, it's,
but it's funny reading the books and talking to the guys who were behind it. They said they don't even think they listed all the samples. They had to give a list to Capitol Records so they could get have the sample fees taken out of the royalty checks. They said there's no way we could have completed that list. We have no idea where some of that shit even came from. We were just grabbing records.
Right.
But Mike D was saying they sampled the Beatles on one of them.
Oh, well, you know that's a no-no.
But this, but they were with Capitol Records, and they said at the time, they're like, isn't this cool? We're getting sued by the Beatles. But I'm just saying, it's a masterpiece. And then if you know the history of it, it's Biz Markie's album. I Need a Haircut that came out in 91-ish. That was the nail in the coffin on Sampling. He got nailed for that one. But I'm with you. If you're taking a song that hasn't done much anyway, I don't know. I feel like if I was an artist, I want to get paid for it. I don't know if I can go after and sue you. I don't know. The story is you can't touch this, MC Hammer. Story is, the legend is, Rick James said, you can have it. That's what I understand. He's like, he didn't think it was going to be much. And then that thing went to the moon.
Sampling brought back a lot of old art. If an older artist did it correctly, it brought their careers back.
That's like, correct. Hip-hop revised James Brown.
Right, agreed.
In the 80s,
and George Clinton.
George, oh my God.
He had a second and a third career.
Thank you, Dr.
Because
Dre. And Digital Underground.
Yes. And Digital Underground, you're right.
But he never went after them, did he?
No, but I'm saying.
He respected it.
He pursued it correctly.
Yes.
He was like.
If you're going to do this.
He's like, yes, but let me come along for the ride.
Exactly.
Can I be on tour? Can I open?
That was,
he's a smart, forward-thinking artist.
Anyway. But then again, back to what we're talking about. They aren't doing that anymore anyway, so. Santino sat with me and talked about beats and this and that, and he respects what I'm talking about. You know, it was weird, though. But what they consider hip-hop today is just,
I mean, I still get down with hip-hop today. So I'm a big fan of J. Cole. I like Big Sean a lot.
Yep.
I mean, there's guys out there that
I'm
do
gravitate
towards.
Not good stuff. I'm saying,
But I know what you're saying. Yeah,
on the Hub show a couple shows back, I interviewed two cats out of New York. They did a jam called The Way You Move, and it's getting big play up there in New York. It's a great song. That's why I had them on. It's got a chick singing in the middle of on the chorus, you know, something like something out of the 90s with a bit of auto-tune in there. So it sounds like today's music, but it's got a bit of the 90s twist to it. Awesome song. I'll send you the copy of that, too. But these guys were telling me, they're in New York. I said, what's going on in New York? What are the young kids listening to in New York City? Forget everywhere else. And he told me, it's this stuff. The same stuff they're listening to like down here and whatnot. Yep. So I can't argue with it, but I don't know. The art form has been lost, man.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
I'm trying to conserve
what are you gonna
it
do?
As much
know,
as possible.
Man. Me too, man. Yeah. I mean, if you're
you're
a chef on those turntables, I mean, DJ Shmoo, shout out to you. He's the same way. He feels the same way.
Yeah.
But he has to go and play his gigs with the music that people want to hear. And I understand that's what you got to do as a DJ.
Every single weekend, man.
I have the stuff. I go DJ weddings and whatnot. I get requests for stuff, and I got to play it.
Yeah.
You know, when I got a 12-year-old girl coming up and asked me to play Cardi B, I'm like,
hey, it's a hot girl summer.
I got to do it, but I mean, you know, I can't understand why you'd listen to this, but that's just me, man, so whatever.
It's party music. I mean, I see it why is. Kids like it, you know what I mean?
Do you really?
It is what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I was DJing for the Fresh Academics stage show last June at a Kepler Theater at ACC, and they're all about breakdance and whatnot, so I try to keep it in that vibe, like 116 beats per minute and beyond, you know? So we're playing like old school stuff and whatnot. I'm having a blast, you know, from like 1984 and stuff.
Nice.
And some little kids, a little girl shouts out during intermission, play Cardi B. I want to throw a microphone at her, man. But whatever. I'm just an old man, but whatever. It's all good. But Mark, DJ Busy, I want to thank you for coming back and making this happen.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so looking forward to having you on again. Don't be a stranger, man. The Hub Show, you know. We love you.
I'd love to be back.
We made this happen finally. This is like a couple months in the works here, but now you're back, and you're back for now.
Yeah, I'm in the area.
You're in That's true. And let's work on the gasoline in that match, dude.
Hey.
I'm here to help you with that. You
know I'm down. Saying? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. DJ Busy, Mark Smith, Jay Heiss for the Hub Show. I want to thank you for listening. Hey, stick around. We'll see you next week. Hub Show.
You've been listening to the Hub Show. Podcasting and broadcasting about news, geeks, business and events, health, pop culture, everything and nothing. With your hosts, Chris Canfield and Jay Heiss.
Thank you.